It's The Brushback with Jenkins and K. Hirsch on WSMIRadio.com. I'm David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschman alongside. And we're 11 episodes into our podcast. How about that?
Almost dirty dozen.
I know, right? Should do almost something special.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
It's a miracle that we're getting through what we're doing now.
Right? I forgot. I didn't realize until I uploaded it last week that we made it to 10. So
10 is awesome. 10 you know, is 10, awesome. 10's a big milestone.
It is a big milestone.
Yeah.
So. Next will be 25, I guess.
Exactly. You know, and after that, the sky is the limit.
That's true. What's the 25th anniversary? Is that silver?
I have no idea.
50's gold, I think. It's years, but still.
For us, it's probably going to be cardboard.
That'll work. That'll work. I can make trophies. I made the WSMI Cup for our bracket challenge.
I've seen it. It's pretty spectacular.
It is for something that's man-made out of styrofoam and cardboard. And
exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know. I was impressed, you know.
I was impressed by the way it turned out, too. But if I do say so myself, I mean, I never would have imagined it would have turned out that well. I also learned that...
Set your standards low.
I also learned that spray paint eats styrofoam really easily, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to really have a little delicate touch on there.
Yeah, because I started like putting it on really heavy, and then it started disappearing. I was like, ooh, maybe you shouldn't do that. So, yeah. But hot glue the same way. Hot glue
hot
obviously
glue
melts.
Also, yeah.
It melts styrofoam.
Some issues. So be fire.
Yeah. Fire, yeah.
Try not to bake anything on it.
Fortunately, the trophy was not made with fire.
That's good. So. It wouldn't be neat if it had a fire element in it, though.
Maybe if one of us gets mad one year. Like if I have the trophy
just
one
melt
year,
that sucker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next year I have a bad year. I have to give the trophy up. Maybe it'll be singed or
melted.
There
you go. Melt it to Tim Mize's car.
That would be great. That would be great. I'm sure he would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We need to talk some high school sports. Fun week. Absolutely it was. But I'm blanking on what all happened. I got to cover my first football game in a year.
So how you were at Pena and
Carlinville,
correct?
Yep, I was at Pena.
So, you know, what, I mean, it sounded
first
like...
First of all, the game lived up to expectations.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounded like... an interesting ball game, just from what I saw. We listened to a little bit of it on the radio coming home from Vandalia for the Litchfield game.
Right.
So.
Well, at first it was a long game, too. The game lived up to expectations. Carlinville's first drive of the game, I thought maybe it was going to be a long night for Carlinville because I think they either had a couple incomplete passes to start the game or passes for like little to no gain. And then the third pass of the game, Pena intercepted and started driving the field. Well, then the Carlinville defense forced a stop and then marched down the field, you know, for a touchdown to take a 6-0
lead. And that was the last stop of the game.
Pretty much. I mean, well, technically no, because the next drive, either Pena fumbled the kickoff or they fumbled on their first play from scrimmage and Carlinville recovered. And then the next drive after that, Pena fumbled again. One of those drives, they fumbled the kickoff. The other drive,
sure,
they fumbled on the first play from scrimmage. And it was like... Wow, Pena, they can't
hold
do anything.
To the ball.
Yeah. Carlinville took a 20-0 lead. It looked like then, okay, it's going to be a long night for Pena. Well, then Pena comes back, scores, recovers an onside kick, scores again. Their defense holds. And, I mean, it's just back and forth through the first half. I think it was like 34-33 at halftime.
That's what
like
I
that.
Thought, yeah.
And then and these were all like big scoring plays, too. I mean, back and forth. There was
sure.
no prolonged drives. And then
it was just you know, go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly. Pena doesn't score in their first drive out of the first half, and then Carlinville gets the ball for the first time in the second half, and they basically eat up half of the clock in the third quarter. They scored. Pretty much it was all Carlinville in the second half. They did a good job of milking the clock, and that's when Jacob Beeson's injury happened in the second half. I think it was the fourth quarter. The game was essentially out of reach at that time. Pena was trying to make a last minute comeback. But,
sure.
I mean, Carlinville was up by two possessions, but I think it was 16 points at the time.
Yeah.
And Beeson got hit on the sidelines. He got hit out of bounds, and the officials threw the flag. I mean, it was a late hit, but it was barely a late hit, contrary to what you may hear from some people.
You'll hear a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, he went, but you've been there. There's not a lot of room on that Pena sideline next to the stands. So.
And ultimately, I mean, it sounds like the officials made the call, and they made the correct call.
Right.
I wasn't there. I didn't see any of the stuff that happened afterwards.
That didn't seem to be much afterwards, or that I know of.
That's good.
It was just that one hit. It was a physical game all night. I mean,
sure.
Chippy is not the right word to use because it wasn't like that, but
it was just physical.
There were some physical and hard hits all night.
And ultimately, I'm just glad the Beeson's okay.
Yeah. I was surprised it was his shoulder because, granted, I didn't see it, but just the way it seemed, I was surprised it wasn't a head injury because mm-hmm. I've never known them to strap somebody to a backboard with a shoulder injury.
And it might have been just for a precaution on their part, so if he did have a head or a shoulder or neck injury.
You have to go through, concussion protocol and everything as well, so.
Yeah, and like I said, ultimately, just glad that he's okay, and hopefully he'll be back before too long, so.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe a couple games. And
so was there anybody, these were two pretty heavily regarded teams. I think you could argue that they were 1-2 in terms of, 3 weeks in. Was there anybody that really impressed you?
Beeson, before he went down, his accuracy is phenomenal. I know he doesn't throw the ball as much as some other quarterbacks in the conference. He throws it his fair share of times. He started the game 1-for-5, but then completed his next 7 or 8 passes, and 6 of those were for a touchdown. He's incredibly accurate. I know it sounds weird because he missed on 4 of his first 5 passes, but some of those passes that he threw for a touchdown for a high school quarterback to lay it in where it needed to be laid in is pretty phenomenal. I was impressed with Jared Easterday. I hadn't seen him a lot because I haven't done a lot of games over the past few years. I knew he could throw the ball. That's not what I was impressed with. I was impressed with his leadership and his ability to basically know when, hey, nothing is coming downfield, so I'm going to tuck it and run and take some hard hits and get right back up afterwards.
I was going to say, that's what I noticed too, in the Litchfield, whenever they played Litchfield, is that he's not afraid of contact.
Right.
He'll scrap it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing.
He's probably the closest thing to a pure pocket quarterback in the South Central Conference. And not to say he isn't athletic or won't run, but he doesn't run as much as other quarterbacks in the conference. And he can take a hit just as much as anybody else.
Yeah, he's pretty mobile. I mean, for being more of that true passer type style. But he's also benefits from a really good offensive line, too. So.
Yeah. The Carlinville defensive line I was also impressed with. Again, I have not seen much of them over the past couple of years.
They got some big boys on that line.
Well, and Pena tried throughout the entire game to run it up the middle, and it was not going. There was nothing up the middle. They tried all game, all night, and couldn't get anything
just
going
nothing.
Up the middle. Outside was different. Anytime they go outside, they
have
find
a little
room.
More success.
Yeah, but straight up the middle, nothing. Didn't matter who it was. It was just nothing. So I was impressed.
Like I said, I think Carlinville, you have to put them. I mean, there's still a lot of football to be played. Mm-hmm. They'll have some tough competition left, but, you got to put them toward the head of the class whenever it comes to favorites for the championship.
They probably should be the favorite to win the conference title, especially because Vandalia did lose to Greenville. I would suspect that Carlinville-Vandalia game is still going to be pretty good, as will the Carlinville-Greenville game. That's
sure.
In week 9. I think that's actually going to be a really good game. It's been a blowout the past couple of years. I don't know that it'll be a blowout this year.
There's a lot of parity up at the top, Yeah. I mean, it's between Carlinville and Greenville and Pena and Vandalia. And then you have some other teams that can sneak up and do some things too.
Yeah.
So
I also do think Pena probably is the second best team in the conference. Now, they may lose a game or two here in the next few weeks if however long Beeson's out and depending on who they're going to play, although Jack Armstrong does have experience at quarterback.
And he has an awesome quarterback name.
He does have an awesome quarterback name.
Jack Armstrong.
I noticed that going into the game. I was like, "Who? He's also listed at quarterback. That's a fantastic name.
America."
he'll do well for them. I don't know who they're playing this week or next. I'm assuming Beeson's going to be out at least 2 weeks. I don't know how long he'll end up being out when it's all said and done. But even if they lose a game or two, I would still say that it's probably the second best team in the South Central.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season pulls out. I got to see Vandalia play Litchfield.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Vandalia is very good. Trevor Smalls, he ran for 166 yards, 167 yards. Mm-hmm. Played one series in the second quarter.
Wow.
He had 144 yards before the first or at the end of the first quarter.
Absurd.
So, I mean, they just had and Litchfield had some adversity. Sam Painter missed the first half. He had an excused absence.
Okay.
Before he left school to get his license and didn't make it back in time. So there's a IHSA restriction that you have to miss a half of a game. So that's why he didn't play.
It wasn't
anything nefarious or anything. So I always like to get that out there because,
sure.
You know, a lot of people just jump to a
life
terrible conclusion. But, you know, but Sam doesn't play defense that much. I mean, he'll play some cornerback and stuff, and he's a good athlete. Vandalia is just phenomenal on offense.
Well, they were picked to win the conference before the season started, so they're pretty good.
They're beasts, you know.
And their one loss was a rivalry game, so.
Yeah, and a good matchup against Greenville, you know. And it's not like they got thumped either, so, mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely some
You obviously had pretty high expectations for Marcus Zimmerman.
Yes,
did he continue to live up to those expectations?
He caught one pass.
Okay.
And took it to the house from 56 yards. I love Marcus Zimmerman.
Yeah.
The kid is just, I mean, he's the Chris Carter of Vandalia football. You know, all he does is catch touchdowns.
High praise.
Yeah, so I think he's a great athlete. I'm not sure, like I said, he ran 56 yards, and I'm not sure he got touched by more than two people. So, I mean, just a really good athlete, you know, and you know, Matthew Wells played pretty well for them, too. Was pretty efficient, I think 7-9 for like 136.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pass much. They, like I said,
they need to.
They, no, they ran Smalls pretty much the entire first quarter and a little bit into, like I said, that second series. He had four touchdowns. And after that they went to Dylan Garrett, also a senior, who is a senior running back. He ended up with 157 yards.
Wow.
I mean, bigger, you know, different, a little different style back. Smalls is quick and has legs like tree trunks.
They probably had a huge advantage on the offensive line too, because weren't they one of those teams who was returning a couple all conference offensive linemen?
I believe they were, and they were, you know, and Litchfield played hard, you know, and that's what they've done all season is Litchfield's played hard. They don't get super down on themselves, which is really good for a team that's rebuilding.
Well, they scored 30 points. Granted, it may have been against the second unit, but I mean, you'll see teams in the past that will just give up.
At least they're still fighting,
right.
You know, and that I think that's really key for them.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
You know, you're playing both sides of the ball. You have some younger players playing that might not have started this year on a bigger team. You know, might have been getting a few varsity reps just to kind of get themselves used to it.
Right.
So it's tough for them.
And they're one of those teams, I believe, that was probably replacing their entire offensive line.
Yeah, pretty much. Travis Hancock was a big part of that last year, and Remy Carter, both good-sized players, you know, and really, you know, you miss that senior presence on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, they had it was just not Litchfield's night. They had a 85-yard kickoff return called back for a personal foul, blocking the back 20 yards away from the play.
Boy, that's
and it wasn't questionable. You know, it was just rough. You know,
that's deflating.
You know, Trevor Gagge looked pretty good. He had a little bit of an ankle injury from last week, but still ran the ball pretty well. Still, I mean, him at 75% is probably better. he's probably faster than a lot of guys at 100.
So, he's quick.
Yeah. So
so who played at quarterback in the first half then for them?
Clayton Walsh, okay. Who I believe he's a sophomore. Okay. And he did a lot of handoffs. He had a couple of nice passes to Gaggy over the middle. So, but, you know, Vandalia led 43-0 at halftime. And could have done and could have made it worse. They with about, you know, 15, 20 seconds left, they were at the Litchfield 9. Yeah. And opted to not run it, you know, continue to run it in,
yeah.
And just, you know, went off the field and took it to the locker room. Much respect for Coach Jason Clay for that. In the past, I've seen other teams call timeouts,
mm-hmm.
even though they were up by 5 or 6 touchdowns and before half.
Yeah.
And to try to build on to that and try to get – a bigger advantage, even though game's over at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying anything, but games, like you said, I admire Litchfield for continuing to try.
Right. Well, especially because they had to do it with a running clock. Impressive
yeah.
to score 30 points with
that's,
the running clock.
Yeah, yeah, they really did. And a lot of big plays. You know, and that's yeah. the thing. You know, even in the first half, they did have a couple. DeAndre Holloway ripped a 42-yard run
yeah.
In the first quarter. That was impressive. They had they got some athletes. They got some guys that are the ability to break stuff. You know, Sam Painter had 3 touchdowns. You know, they were all pretty sizable. He had
yeah.
a 60-yard run, about the third play, his third play of the game. So, like yeah. I said, Litchfield had, you know, for losing by 28 points and being down 43 at one point in time,
mm-hmm.
they did okay.
Yeah.
Vandalia, though?
It's a tough place to play, too.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. The mosquitoes there are giant. I swear they're like pterodactyls. Fortunately, I actually, you know, put on bug spray this time. Shout out to Kurt Walsh for providing that again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seriously, I saw them carry a small child out. It was awful. But like I said, Vandalia, you know, do a good job. I think they're going to be a contender. Like I said, Wells is a good quarterback. Zimmerman, I'll fanboy on him, you know, a little bit. He's a good player. And Smalls, I think, is the best running back in the South Central Conference.
Yeah.
You know,
that's high praise.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen everybody yet. I haven't seen Greenville.
I'm trying to remember the other starting tailbacks, or the well-known tailbacks in the conference.
I haven't seen. You know, I think he's a little better than Tucker Hughes.
Well, he just had his best game on Friday
at Carlinville, and Hughes is a good player too.
Benefits. He's a good player, but he benefits from an offensive line that's
yeah.
just better than everyone else.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Vandalia definitely has a good line too, and Smalls does. And this is all. I don't know what I'm talking about, so keep that in mind. But, no, I honestly think Smalls is the best running back, and I think he's the most explosive. I think he's
yeah.
I think he's a game changer. I think he could have ran for 400 yards
yeah.
if they would have let him.
It's entirely possible. I mean, Jordan Hawkins would have been the one that comes to mind, but he's not playing this year.
Yeah, and they're different kinds, and
yeah.
and you know, like I said, I think even then, I think Smalls was better.
Yeah.
You know, Hawkins was a bigger kid. Smalls doesn't look, he's not that physically imposing until you get right up on him and he's just ripped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, good drive with his legs.
A little bit like Cameron Walter from Greenville.
I can see that.
Because he was like 5'9", so
yeah.
not very big. But
yeah.
Boy, he was strong.
Yeah, and same kind of, I mean, has the ability to go around you or through you.
Yeah.
You know, he just shrugged off tackle after tackle.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was impressed with Smalls. So.
Okay. Sounds
yep.
good. Gillespie beat Roxana. That was another South Central game.
And I was a little surprised about that. I mean, I haven't had the chance to see either team, but, you know, going in, I thought that was a really good win for Gillespie.
Yeah. They had a tough start to the season. I thought they were up bigger at one point, and they won by 3. So, yeah, good win for them. Roxana has played teams really – I think they put 30 points up on Pena.
Because mm-hmm.
We were talking to Gary Boker Jr., who was calling the game for Pena's broadcast, and he said, you know, that, yeah, Roxana had put 30 points up on Pena. They shut out Southwestern for a half. That game was scoreless at the half. And
who do you think would win between Gary Boker and Gary Boker Jr. in like a fight to the death?
I don't know.
Okay, how about a 50-yard dash?
Well, Gary Boker Jr., probably. I would think he's probably in better shape.
Yeah. I feel like Gary Boker's technique would be phenomenal.
I haven't been around Gary Boker Sr. as a coach. But Gary Boker Jr. is a pretty intense coach, too, so I would imagine the fire is there.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, Gary Boker Sr. coaches cross-country, so I don't know how he is as a coach. But
yeah. I think his form in the 50 would be, maybe not the 50-yard, maybe like 5K, you know, so.
I would give the edge to Gary Boker Jr. in that.
Maybe, probably at this point, at least.
Although Gary Boker Sr. is an employee of ours. Roxana has, they've played some good games this year. Gillespie able to edge them out. Gillespie's also playing quite a few underclassmen, so they're pretty much rebuilding their program.
Sure.
Trying to remember some of the other games that happened.
Hillsboro picked up a win over Staunton, added a new weapon, and
Drake Payden.
Yeah. So, good athletic, you know, player, great basketball player for Hillsboro. Came out at wide receiver, scored a touchdown, and hadn't been on a field less than a minute.
Their passing game is going to be the real deal this year.
Yeah, between him and you know, the thing is, their running game's not a slouch either. And, you know, Gunner,
running game's awesome.
Gunner Lentz had a good game, outrushed the Staunton team.
Yeah.
I think Staunton only had 70 yards of rushing offense.
See, Vandalia might have the best running back in the conference. I think Hillsboro might have the best rushing attack.
They have a good combination of kids, you know. And
with Lentz and Christian Hernandez, and even if you had Civitate in there.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely potential there. You know, they got some good guys blocking, some bigger kids with good technique. Like I said, Civitate threw for, I can't remember exactly, like 200 yards, I think, or something like that. Had some big pass plays to Greg, yeah, and one to Payden.
Greg is turning into one of Civitate's favorite targets.
Greg's going to be, I mean, for a bigger kid, he moves extremely well. I mean, he wrestled 210, or might have wrestled 195.
Is he a senior this year?
Nah, I think he's just a junior this year, so. He's still got another year. I know he's been working a lot in the off season with camps and things like that too.
Well,
so
then whoever inherits the quarterback position for Hillsboro next year is going to
inherit
a nice weapon.
They have a nice little weapon, not so little.
Yeah,
but
a nice big weapon.
Yeah,
imposing.
You know, but Staunton also had they couldn't get anything going on the rushing game, but had a really good game from Marcus Carl, receiver, another good receiver.
He's kind of flying under the radar this year. He's having a good season.
Another good Marcus.
Yeah.
That's a receiver. It's like Alex's in golf. Apparently, if you're Marcus, you can play receiver.
That's right.
But I think he had, you know, a couple long touchdowns, like 40, 50 yards plus. Yeah. So
it might have summed up the kind of night Staunton was having when they had a successful flea flicker for a first down, but then fumbled. Summed up the kind of night.
Yeah, and I think Hillsboro's, you know, starting to hit their stride after a couple of really tough games the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they're kind of starting to put things together, and they're going to be tough over the long haul.
Well, they didn't lose their confidence after starting 0-2, and that's important.
Oh, that's huge. You know, I mean, and especially with high school kids, where, you know, life or death happens in blink of an eye.
Right. Well, and I mean,
or at least they think it does. So.
Their line is big. So whenever they have to play Pena, I mean, I saw Pena struggle against a big defensive line running up the middle. Whenever Pena has to run up the middle against Hillsboro's defensive line, that might present a challenge. So
absolutely.
That's going to be a tough test for Pena.
Yeah, it'll be neat. Yeah. So it'll be fun. You know, those are going to be fun games too.
Yeah. The thing Hillsboro have to do in that game is not let their defensive backs get beat by the Pena receivers.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened to Carlinville. Carlinville's got good defensive backs, and they got beat by some receivers in that game.
Yeah, and they'll have their hands full, that's for sure. Yeah. But it should be a fun game.
Yeah. Greenville played
Also, Staunton, Brady Kinder kicked a 43-yard field
That's
goal.
That's what Tim was saying on Sports Saturday. That doesn't happen.
43-yard field goal.
Well, he said he had enough leg for 50.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. You know, whenever he was kicking extra points in the Litchfield game, he didn't get a chance to go on the field for a field goal, but kicking points in the Litchfield game was like almost clearing the track.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, yeah.
That can be a weapon.
43. I think he's also an all-conference player on the soccer team, too.
See, it's so odd because in professional and college, the field goal is probably like one of the most boring plays in the game. But in the high school level, at least in this area,
it's exciting. Because
it's incredibly exciting.
I think it's rare.
It is.
I think it's, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. It's exciting.
I think it's
because
one of the most exciting plays here.
Yeah. So, and also in college, you know, I feel bad for some of those kids. You know, I mean, you know, it's.
Well, their hash marks are so wide compared to how close together the goalposts are.
Yeah,
so.
it's and they're just, I mean, there's so much pressure on there. Right. And you look at the kid and he's like 75 pounds soaking wet with rocks in his pockets.
It's usually a walk on.
Yeah. So, but no, like I said, I thought that was, you know, whenever I saw that, I was like, holy cow. He also kicked another field goal. So, you know, so.
That can be a weapon in the high school game.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Who did Greenville play over the
Greenville
weekend?
Greenville played Southwestern.
That's right, and they got the win.
Yeah, got the win there. So,
I think that was it for the South Central Conference.
Yeah, Nokomis beat DuPo.
They did.
Don't Po. Yeah, so 200 yards from Adam Lyons on the ground, running back for sophomore running back from Litchfield. Drew Watson had three touchdown passes, two to Alex Tassetti, one to Mason Sturt.
That evens up their record back at 2-2, so their playoff hopes obviously still looking okay.
They're probably going to have to win six just based off what their schedule is. So,
well, St. Teresa will get them some playoff points, but Blue Ridge won't. And that was it for the non-conference, right? They just played the two?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Because they played Marquette in week three, so yeah.
Yeah, Marquette in week three, so.
Yeah, they're going to have six wins, or everyone else in the state's going to have to really struggle this year.
So, but, hey, you know, it's possible, and that's what you want to keep.
Hey, Mount Olive was a 5-win playoff team a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so, and you know, I think that's all you can do is you just want to go week to week and just want to continue. Ben Marley, I saw some video of him blocking people and just blowing them up on Twitter. Just kids a beast.
Wonder how much of a challenge it really was for him over the weekend.
Probably not too terrible bad, but still, you know, I mean, like I said, pretty good run for them, for sure. So, like I said, decent week for Montgomery County football.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they've already got Marquette out of the way on their schedule, so. I mean, the playoffs are right there for them.
It's possible.
They still got to face South Mac, who's a pretty tough opponent. South Mac lost to Madison on Saturday.
The South Mac and Cheeses?
Yes, the South Mac and Cheeses. There was some confusion about when the game was going to start. We had 7, but then someone called and told us that it was at 1 because Madison does not have lights. The game was actually played at 10:30. So, yeah. So it was played at 10:30, and South Mac lost. Yeah, in a very close game.
Madison plays Nokomis this week. So
they are 3-1. Madison is.
They got athletes, man.
I think they got some kids from East St. Louis that didn't play for East St. Louis, who's a defending.
I'll say who the kids that don't play for East St. Louis are probably usually pretty good. So
ooh, were they the state champs last year or runners up?
I can't remember.
Yeah, they were in the game, but
they're good.
They're
always good.
Yeah,
you know.
They're athletes.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
It will be. They'll play. Madison will play most of the Metro East, or most of the Prairie State teams this year.
Yeah, so. That's what it looked like. So it's like, yeah, good for them.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
It will be. North Mac they didn't win over the weekend. They played Williamsville on Friday and lost like 56-12. So
Williamsville, good. Pretty much everything.
They appear to be back to the Williamsville of a few years ago.
Yeah.
They weren't bad the last couple of years, but they were dominant a few years ago, and they appear
Absolutely.
To be back.
Yeah.
So
bullets.
Yeah.
Good.
They North Mac plays Auburn this weekend. Auburn's 1-3 on the season and has to play North Mac and Moreau Forsyth, so they're in danger of missing the playoffs for the first time in like 20-something years.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I'll say Auburn's, you know, had a really good program for a long, long time. So
they have, and they're, I mean, it's a rivalry game against North Mac, so it should be a pretty good game. So
sure,
we'll see. North Mac's going to be hungry after coming off a loss. We talked to Dan Carlson, their head coach. He wasn't happy. So he said the hype had a lot. It may have had some to do with it. And the players may have been defeated. He said he wanted Williamsville again in the playoffs. So we'll see.
I pass.
We'll see. We'll see if it happens.
It's like, hey, I guess you can have them if you want them. I'm sure a lot of other people will give them to you.
We'll
so,
see.
Kind of switching gears, volleyball this weekend. Hillsboro won the Vandalia tournament, beat Lebanon, or Lebanon, as I like to call them, the Greyhounds, in the championship game, went 4-0. Vandalia finished third, so good turnout for them. So
I've seen the Lebanon boys basketball team more over the last 3 years than I ever have in my life because of Litchfield Invitational. I've called more of their games, too, than I can remember.
I think they have a cool name. I like the Greyhounds.
The Greyhounds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good name.
You know, it's not real creative in terms of naming the dog breed. It's like, what color is this dog?
Gray.
Oh, let's call him a Greyhound.
This is going to be really bad for my reputation.
I'm not sure this can be worse after the no Top Gun, no Caddyshack.
No, because this is just pure ignorance and stupidity.
Oh, like, this will be good.
Yeah. Is the color gray spelled with an E or an A?
It's both.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's both.
Because the Greyhounds is spelled with an E. I didn't know if the color was spelled.
I think gray with an E is more British-y.
Okay. So it's like color with an O-U.
Exactly.
It's up to your
preference. Color me bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly like them.
I was going to say color. Like color. Yeah. Color me bad. Yeah. Save your with an O-U-R.
Yeah. Yeah, the English, they like to get the extra letters in there. So,
right.
But Lincolnwood was up at New Berlin, and they ended up finishing third there.
Their JV team finished what?
14th out of 16 teams. Yeah. Not bad. They picked up a win.
Yep, beat some varsity teams.
Yeah, they beat a varsity team. So and you know, their JV team's probably pretty good, you know. Carly Brunson and Hayden Glick both made all tournament team for them. Like I said, they finished third, lost to New Berlin in the semifinal of the gold bracket. New Berlin ended up taking second. Rochester was first. So, you know, Lincolnwood's 13-2. So, should be
like
pretty good.
Auburn there being their other loss, I think, and the Grace tournament.
Yeah. And they're also hosting the Super Sectional.
Okay.
So, if they can.
They're hosting a Super.
A Super.
How about that?
Yeah. So, if they can get. Well, I mean, I think Pawnee hosted a Super a couple years ago. So. But they still have to get there. But if they can get there, that they'd have a little home cooking. So,
oh yeah,
that'll
be good.
So, also in postseason news, in soccer, Lincolnwood's hosting a regional, and one other team I can't remember what the other school, but Hillsboro is in that sectional complex, or that subsectional, in Litchfield. And Sacred Heart Griffin. So,
because of course.
Yeah, because apparently they're now a Class 1A school.
They're 1A. Good grief.
They have 643 kids.
That's not right.
And there's 661 and is the cutoff.
Is that the cutoff? That's
cutoff for Class A. So Sacred Heart Griffin. And you know, they are 3-7 this year. But granted, I think one of their losses was to the United States men's soccer team. So...
Was it a close game?
No, not really. Yeah, yeah.
Grief.
Yeah, so that's been interesting. I mean, granted, you got to play who you got to play.
Well, maybe
you know,
they won't have to face them in the regional. Maybe they'll get stuck somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, Dave.
We'll see.
I'm pretty sure they're headed to... I think the other one is in, like, Altamont or... Or T-Town or someplace
that's
like that. So my guess is, though, that they'll be ranked pretty highly in the complex.
Yeah.
And they will be sent to Lincolnwood. So right now if the season were to shift.
You don't think Lincoln will be like second or third?
Lincoln's 5-5 right now. They had a couple of tough losses. Uh-huh. They lost five games straight. They've won their last two. It'll be interesting this week. Hillsboro, Litchfield, Gillespie, and Lincolnwood start tonight, Monday the 18th, at the Lincolnwood Invitational Tournament. So usually some pretty good games there. Especially with Hillsboro and Lincolnwood, how that kind of shakes out is going to have some effect on how it's seeded.
Carlinville's in that same subsection, aren't they?
No, I believe Carlinville is not. I believe Carlinville is down in a different subsection.
Okay,
I could be mistaken. It's entirely possible. I would say Hillsboro has a shot of being one of the top seeds too, in there. They've won six straight, so
I could pull it up. I do have the ability interwebs to pull it up. Yeah.
But and like you said, you have to play good teams. Yeah. At some point. But I know, this is not – and I think there was some complaining, guys. I think in the last couple of years, I think they've been 2A. But there's been times that they were 1A, and, them and Quincy Notre Dame would be in the same
section. I knew Quincy Notre Dame was 1A quite off. Are they also 1A this year?
I believe so.
Of course they are.
Yeah, it's
because usually it's like
Waterloo Jabot, though, I believe is 2A,
okay.
Which is
was that forced upon them?
Yeah, it might be. I'm pretty sure
the success.
Yeah, but it is what it is. Yeah. You can't really change stuff like that. But like I said, Lincolnwood picked up two wins late last week. Hillsboro has won six in a row.
Yeah.
So there's some decent soccer. Carlinville's got a good team. This year, everybody's kind of around the same.
Payne's not bad,
same type
they?
Of level. They've had all their ups and downs this year. Litchfield beat them earlier.
I knew that.
Like I said, they've had their ups and downs this year. I'm not sure they're as good as they have been in years past, but they graduated like six, seven guys last year, including some of the best players in the conference. Jake McLeod, McLeod, however you pronounce
McLeod,
his name.
McLeod, I think. Yeah,
Jack Epley.
Rhett Zaradka.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he a soccer player? Because he played football too.
Yeah, he played soccer too. Yeah. So he graduated.
See, that's interesting to me. Was whenever he played, and he was the starting quarterback for the Panthers and then played soccer as well.
Jake Epley did the same thing for them. He was starting quarterback and was a key player for their soccer team. So, it'll be neat. See how that shakes out. I'm looking forward to the tournament.
I know on the girls' side, it's usually, in a sectional, it's usually Quincy Notre Dame, Alt Marquette, Rochester, and one of our area public schools.
Yeah, it's always.
So if you win your regional, you pretty much won state because you're not getting past those three teams.
Yeah, they're tough, but you just hope that you can, surprise somebody a little bit and do some damage. I'm sure, some people really like a challenge.
Oh yeah.
So
hey, why not?
But yeah. It'll be a fun tournament this year. Like I said, Staunton's pretty solid as well. And Roxana, which Hillsboro just beat Roxana 3-0.
Greenville, it looks like, is in a subsectional with Althoff Catholic and Alton Marquette. And
that'll be a fun
Father
one.
McGivney.
That'll be a fun one, too.
Yeah. Andy Salton-Woodiver. So,
yeah.
Oh, here we go. Altamont is hosting, and as is Lincolnwood. Effingham St. Anthony's in that subsectional. Hillsboro, Litchfield, Macon Meridian, Newton, Pena, Lincolnwood, Sacred Heart Griffin, Totopolis, and Vandalia.
Yeah.
So
Altamont is actually a great place to host a regional. They used to have one of the worst fields.
Newton's kind of out of the way among those teams.
Yeah. I think Newton's but who else are they going to play? They're about as close as anybody. They're not that far from T-Town and Altamont.
Well, see, they're my family's originally from that area. They're from Olney,
mm-hmm.
and they're surrounded by, I think, some, they're surrounded by some smaller schools, but some big schools
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, that's kind of the case, I think. So they get shipped that this direction, and they're supposed to be pretty decent, I think, too. Mm-hmm. I think they made it to sectionals last year or 2 years ago. Yeah. So should, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting.
Their school's easy to find. Newton is.
Yeah, you drive right past it. So. Yeah. And I always like to have a big bird on the, like one of the entrance, yeah. like things. They have a stone eagle. So
they've got, it's pretty cool. I think the restaurant's in Newton. It's either in Newton or on the way to Newton, where it's just like a drive, it's in a barn that's a drive-through, like a drive-through
really?
Barn where you pull up and get some food. And I think on the other side, they've
like
got
hay?
not that. But like you're driving on the highway and there's this big barn with a huge doorway, and there's on one side, you know, you'll drive through, on one side of the window is a counter.
I don't believe this place actually exists.
Well, you
David.
Should travel to Newton. It's either in Newton or on the way. And on the other side, there's these like refrigerators or refrigerated freezers, whatever.
Cases, yeah.
Like where food is stored, where you can just go out and grab that. So
that sounds wonderful.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought about stopping a couple of times.
I'm all in it.
Neglected too.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful place.
Well, I haven't stopped because usually time I get there, I'm ready to either be at
sure.
my destination or I'm trying to get home and I don't want to stop. So,
yeah. I've spent a weekend at
Newton
one day.
Yeah, I've been there. Not Newton specifically, but certain locations.
In the general vicinity.
Yeah.
So,
it's true.
Cross country, Litchfield. Was at Edwardsville. Girls finished 5th. Boys finished 15th. A lot of big schools there.
Carlinville's hosting a regional, it looks like, by the way.
And
the
and soccer.
And the other
yeah, see, and I thought that was probably the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Carlinville's good this year.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're a pretty solid team. So.
That sectional's making Meridian. So
they have one senior. So
who, Carlinville?
Carlinville does. So they're going to be fun.
Who's their soccer coach?
Tim Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, he's also the wrestling coach. His dad was a longtime wrestling coach and soccer coach at Chatham Glenwood. So,
very nice.
Tim does a good job there. So he's got some interest in the program again. So.
Sure.
But as I was saying, Litchfield cross country at Edwardsville. Ryan Pogenpohl finished 22nd on the boys' side. And then Maddie Throne finished, 14th.
Okay.
So on the girls' side, she's good.
Yeah.
And quick.
They usually have one or two pretty good runners in that program.
Yeah, now two of them went to UIS for cross country as well and have been doing really well.
That program seems to grow each year, too, because I think when I was in high school, there was like one or two people participating. By my senior year, there was like 5 per gender.
And I think part of that is due to, at least on the girls' side, you know, I think there's a good relationship between Coach Palmer mm-hmm. on the cross-country side and Coach Kress on the girls' track side. And, you know, I think you've seen a few more girls this year, especially going out for, or the girls that do, or that excel at both. Andrea Priddle, you know, pretty good sprinter and runner for Litchfield track, is on cross-country this year. Like I said, Throne girls have both done it. Cortons done it.
That's
so,
a dynasty, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a fun group to watch.
Yeah.
So this year, the Litchfield boys cross country team got a little bit of a boost from some wrestlers. You know, it's
Cam Lee, I know, because he didn't go out for football. He went out cross country.
Yeah, and that's part of that's an injury thing. He doesn't want to. You know, you want to keep him as healthy as possible for wrestling. He's put a lot of time in the off season for wrestling. So, there's a handful, both the Powell brothers, Bailey and Carter, are in cross country as well and doing pretty well. And then, Garrett Warner also. So, you know, like I said, good group. So
what about golf? What happened in golf?
Hillsboro won another tournament.
Of course they did.
Yeah, because they had to play in a tournament.
They played, so
they might
won.
As well win it.
Yeah.
Shot like a 309, I want to say, at Windsor, win by about 20 strokes over St. Anthony. They had four guys in the top 10 individually. Alex Eichhoff took medalist honors with a 74, two over par. Tony Perfetti was way back in second with a 75. Alex White shot a 79. Dane Huber shot an 81. So they were all in the top 11. There was a tie for 10th, Dane Huber and another kid from
Those
Sullivan.
Stupid numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's ridiculous. They're like, you know, I mean, whenever you're sixth man, you know, actually technically he's your seventh man. Wilson Hamby, you know, played in that tournament in Mattoon and shot a, came on and shot a 76 cold, you know,
yeah.
And just,
I saw you on Twitter the other day say you're going to at one point this season call someone Owen Wilson.
Well, they have an Owen, Owen Molloy and Wilson Hamby, and they're like 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So like I look at their names and it says Owen Wilson. Yeah. So there's no chance in heck that it
either
doesn't happen.
Either of them have the Owen Wilson nose?
No, okay. No, they don't.
That's fortunate.
Yeah, lucky for them. They're in good shape.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, they're really good. Really, yeah. Really, really good. Alex Bishop from Litchfield's really, really, really good. He's medaled in his last 9 matches. They've only played 10.
Yeah.
The only one he didn't finish first in was a Hickory Stick invite at the very first match, and it was a tournament. I mean, with a lot of bigger schools, including Hillsborough and Litchfield. So, and then they're capable of throwing up a 150, mid 150s as a team too.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think they shot 157 the other day. So that might have been Hillsborough. Actually, I take that back.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know. They're going to...
They know what they're doing.
The thing is, like, there's a lot of South Central Conference schools that have one or two good golfers on their boys' side, at least. You know, Alex Bishop's done really good. And not that's not taking away from anything that any of the others have done. They've done solid. They're in the low 40s, for the most part, low to mid 40s. But there's a kid from Roxanne named Scott Anderson that's a good... tied for medalist honors whenever Hillsborough played them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shulman from Vandalia. So Hillsborough has 4 of those guys. You know, it's just tough whenever you got 4, going up against a team with 4 guys that can throw,
And their backup team can compete with just about anybody too.
They're competitive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're shooting 180s, 190s,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and not at full strength, you know, mm-hmm. because Caden White on the varsity has been injured. He has a wrist injury, which in golf, pretty important.
Yeah.
So he's missed some time, but Wilson Hamby, you know, stepped in for him. That hurts your JV team.
Yeah.
But whenever you have to worry, or, you know, whatever your thought is, it's like, well, the JV could be shooting better.
You know, true.
That's pretty impressive.
It's true. Kyle Hirschman.
Always a pleasure.
Where are you this week? For football, you're at Litchfield this week because it's homecoming.
Yep, I am at Litchfield again this week. I will be out at the Lincolnwood Invitational Soccer Tournament several times as well. So,
right.
And Panhandle School Board tonight.
Hey, how about that?
Love it.
I'll be at Litchfield's homecoming dance Saturday because I'm DJing.
DJ Dave.
DJ Dave.
High fives.
Hey, yeah. You can high-five me over the air. That was me sticking my hand out for you to high-five me. Or over the internet, I should say.
Absolutely.
That's going to do it for this edition of The Brushback. Again, tune in next Monday afternoon to listen to us. You can find us online at WSMIRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at BrushbackWSMI, at DJenkinsWSMI, and at JN Sports. And follow Kyle in the Journal News.
And follow Dave just around town.
Just around town. Around my house, because that's where I am most
that's
of the time.
That's where you are.
Just ring my doorbell.
You can always use babysitting.
Ring my doorbell. I'll check in the window. If I don't recognize you, I won't answer the door. That's how it goes. I really need to get a sign that says no solicitors. It would come in handy. See y'all till next week.